spend a lot of time this afternoon looking at this passage of Scripture, but I do want to give you some thoughts and some truths for the new year as we embark in the journey of 2023. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll just read one verse for our text, kind of our launching pad, I guess you could say, and then we will look at what the Bible has to say here. Verse number 20 of 2 Corinthians, right? Okay, it's the sandwiches. They're kicking in. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. So this afternoon, I want us to think about this thought of in 2022 or 2023 being a promise keeper or a promise believer. And what the Bible has to say about the promises of God and how we can believe those promises for our life each and every day, all right? Let's pray. Lord, help us as we look at your word this afternoon. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding. I pray you would give us wisdom as we embark to pursue you in this new year. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to be a people that believe the promises that you've given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's probably not going to be uncommon for me to say this morning or this evening or even 2022 because, well, it's been a year, right? We've been using that a lot. One thing that we know is that God has given to us many promises. And the Bible, from the beginning to the end, it is filled with wonderful promises that we can claim as believers. We will never be all that God wants us to be until we become promise believers. Now, in our text this afternoon, in this one simple verse, we learn that all of the promises of God are found in Jesus Christ. That they answer yes, or the thought here, amen, they all answer yes in Jesus Christ. And we can stand upon those wonderful promises. William Carey said this, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And we have wonderful promises that we can claim. Now, Peter uses three words to describe God's promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says this, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Three words that are used to describe the promises of God. First of all, it's exceeding. And the thought of exceeding is beyond natural limits or supernatural. The promises of God cannot be explained by man. They are supernatural. They are exceeding promises. But also they are great. And the thought of great, they mean it surpasses all others. They're large. The promises of God are exceeding. They are great. And they are precious. It means they are of such great value that a suitable price is hard to estimate. In other words, what price tag would you put on assurance of your salvation? What price tag would you put on the promise to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? You can't put a price tag on. You can't put a sum of money based on that wonderful promise that we have. Now, what is a promise? We talk about the promises of God. What is a promise? Well, a promise is an oral or written agreement to do or not to do something. A promise is based upon an expectation. And God's promises are graciously bestowed and secured by negotiation. In fact, there are over 3,000 promises for us to claim in God's word. Now let's think about the promises of God for just a moment. We have the promise of his presence. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have the promise of his protection. The Bible says that God is our shield. He's our stronghold. He's our refuge. We have the promise of his power. He says he will strengthen us, Isaiah 41:10. We have the promise of his provision. He will help us, Isaiah 41, verse 10. God will provide and help us. We have the promises of his purpose. The Bible says that God gives us thoughts of peace and not of evil, Jeremiah 20 and verse 11. And so we must learn to lean and to depend upon the promises of God. Now, our promises to God are not very valuable. I mean, the reality is our promises are not exceeding. Our promises are not great, and our promises are not precious. You know, we break our promises. We are flesh and blood. We are human. But God's promises to us are exceeding and great and precious. And we can stand upon these promises. And so I want to give you some guiding principles this afternoon. Just simple guiding principles to help us in this year to become promise believers. Principles to help us to become promise believers. So first of all, if you're taking notes, think about this. We must understand that everything we do in our Christian life is based upon faith in the promises of God. Everything that we do in the Christian life is based upon faith in the promises of God. That really is what the Christian life is all about. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I live right now, the Bible says it's lived by faith. It's lived by faith. And we have faith in the promises of God. I mean, at the very foundational level of the Christian life is to believe the promise of salvation. Think about this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise given. And as promise believers, we believe that promise. We read in our Bibles, we pray, we live the Christian life, we tithe. We do all of these things because we're promise believers. We believe in the promises of God. And our Christian life is lived by faith in all of those promises. Trusting God each and every day. We are promise believers. But also, another thought here, all God's promises depend upon God's faithfulness and power to fulfill his promise. Now, if I told Emma Wood that to help with her college bill, I was going to write her a check for $1 million after the service. I said, Emma, I'm going to promise you I'm going to give you a check for $1 million. Now, that check would not be worth any more than the paper it's written on. She would not believe that I could keep that promise. And the reality is it's a worthless promise because I don't have the means or resources to fulfill the promise that I made to her. But the Bible teaches us that God can meet those needs. God makes a promise. God has the resources to fulfill those promises. Really, there's two important truths or questions that we have to ask when it comes to God fulfilling his promise. First of all, a simple question, is God faithful? Is God faithful? In other words, does God always tell the truth? If God makes a promise, is God faithful in keeping that promise? If God makes a promise, does God always tell the truth? And the answer is, yes. Yes, he is. The second question we have to ask is God able? Not only is God faithful in keeping that promise, but is God able to keep that promise? And the answer is? Yes. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us live by faith, believing the promises of God. Why? For he is faithful, that promise. God is able and God is faithful. God always keeps his word, and God is capable and able to fulfill those promises. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I love the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We call it the faith chapter. And the Bible speaks of Abraham and his faith in believing the promises of God. God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that by that son, all nations would be blessed. And then God commanded Abraham to sacrifice that son. And we really get to see the heart of Abraham and how Abraham was thinking during that entire process of God telling him to go sacrifice his own son. In verse 17 of Hebrews 11, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You see, Abraham was given a promise that by his seed would all nations be blessed, speaking of the Messiah, the Savior. And even though he had received that promise, he still took his son. And as far as God was concerned, even though Abraham did not kill his son, he still obeyed God. And the Bible says here he offered up his begotten son. In verse 18 it says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at this, verse 19. Accounting that God was able. That's wonderful. How did Abraham see the promises of God? If God said it, he's able to make it happen. If God said it, I believe it. I'm a promise believer. And Abraham even believed that if he took the life of Isaac, that God would just raise him from the dead. I mean, the promise was made and the promise would be kept because God is faithful and God is able. And the Bible says here, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Listen, a promise has no value. This is the third thought here. A promise has no value unless it's made to someone. And God has chosen to make his promises to us. We have so many promises for us as his children. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God's promises are not general in nature for just everyone. There are those who are for the unsaved, that if they call upon his name, they'll be saved. But many of the promises of God are for those who are born again. God has made promises to us, whereby are given unto us, believers, great, exceeding great and precious promises. And so God's promises are all true, but there are promises in the Bible that only become effectual when we believe them. Now we think about a generic promise that God gives in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. And I know that we may not think of this as a promise, but it is a promise. The Bible says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's a promise in the Bible that you'll reap what you sow. That's a biblical promise. And even though we don't see that as a promise, it's a promise to everyone that if you are sowing seeds of the flesh, one day those seeds are going to grow and they're going to manifest themselves. And that's a biblical promise. The Bible says in Romans 8:13, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. And we are all sinners by nature. And because of that, one day we will die. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. This is a promise in the Bible. So many promises, generic promises that God the Bible says that will be kept. But there are promises in the Bible that only become effectual when we believe them. And the example of that is prayer. James chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. It only becomes effectual when we act upon that promise. The reality is the same is true with salvation. I mean, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise in the Bible, but it only becomes effectual when someone believes that promise and acts upon it and calls upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And so there are many promises in the Bible that only become effectual when we act upon them. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, the Bible says, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, if you give to me, I'm going to give to you. But we have to act upon that by faith. It becomes effectual when we act by faith. And then my last thought here is no Christian really can say they believe the promises of God until they act upon them in faith. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. And I know a lot of people get James chapter 2 confused by saying, well, it's teaching a works-based salvation, and it's not. But the Bible is saying that faith acts, faith works. And when we truly believe, there's going to be an outcome of that faith that we have. We can say, I believe the promises of God. But if we never act upon the promises of God, can we say we truly believe them? God's promises are no value until we act upon the promises. I heard the story of there was a violent hurricane that had struck a small town, and all the people in that town had huddled together. And there was a preacher in that town, and he had great eloquent words. And in the midst of the storm, he was praying and crying out to God, saying, send us the spirit of the children of Israel and the children of Moses and the children of the promised land. And at this, there was an older man that stood up, and he wasn't quite as eloquent in his words. And in a simple, practical way, he said, Lord, don't send nobody. This ain't no place for children. Send yourself. We need you right now. And here is just a simple faith, trusting God and acting upon what he believed, that God would never leave us nor forsake us. When I was a teenager, there was a time that I doubted my salvation. And for many months, I was a miserable person. And I was involved in my youth group. I was faithful to the church. And I'd experienced the conviction of the Spirit's working in my life, but there was a season where I just doubted. And I'll never forget when I was talking to the pastor one time, we were talking about the promises of God, and he said this. He said, you just need to claim the promises of God for you. And I'll never forget the time when I realized, wait a minute, that promise in the Bible for salvation is not just a generic promise, it's a promise for me. And I can be a promise believer. I can believe what God promised. And the day I did that, it changed my life. I never had a doubt in my salvation. The promise of God that are all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. They are all answered yes. They are all amen. And I remember as a teenager resting in the promises of God. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I did that. I believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I was living that by faith. And I remember claiming that promise. That's my promise to me. And I lived that promise. And God wants you to have that confidence in your life because he can and he has. He's able today. And he's able to save. He's able to keep. And God's promises are always true. And they're always trustworthy. God can be trusted. Our trust is never misplaced when we become a promise believer. Francis Havergal was a noted hymn writer, and she loved the Word of God, and she was dying at an early age of 43, and she asked a friend who was standing beside her bed if she would read the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And when the friend was reading this passage of Scripture, she came to verse 6, where she read, "And the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee." And immediately she stopped her friend from reading. And she said, "That is enough." And with barely enough volume in her voice, just barely a whisper, she said, "Called, hold thine hand and keep." She said, "I can go home on that." And she did go home. She closed her eyes and she stepped into the presence of Jesus. A promise believer is important if we're going to thrive in 2023. Two questions you have to ask yourself. Is God faithful? Yes, he is. Is God able? Absolutely yes. And you can live 2023 with those promises. You can thrive in 2023 in those promises. And I pray that you'll be a promise believer this year, that you won't just survive, you won't just get through it, you'll thrive in this upcoming year. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray it would be an encouragement.